1 Thessalonians chapter 1. For those of you that are regularly with us, you know that we are working through Genesis in this time period, and we're also working through, kind of taking a bright break from that right now, working through Ephesians 4. But this week I needed to pivot a little bit, and I was planning on sharing from this text, just kind of waiting for an opportunity to do so. You know, if you're in Men's and Women's Fellowship, that we're going through 1 and 2 Thessalonians this year. And it's a really encouraging and blessing time to really survey these books and get into some of the details. But as I'm doing it, when we got into it, I thought, man, that would be a wonderful text to work through together in a time of preaching. And so there's a text I want to just focus in on this afternoon that I believe the Lord will instruct us in and encourage us with. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And I'm going to read verses 2 through the end of the chapter, but we're going to focus in especially on verses 2 and 3. Paul says this to the Thessalonians: "We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers." Okay, so this is what's going on. He's giving thanks for some things. Okay, we always give thanks and making mention of your prayer. So he's giving thanks in prayer to God, and we get to hear why he's giving thanks. First of all, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of our God and Father. All right. So the first thing he's giving thanks for, we're going to kind of work through it this way and then we'll come back and focus on those verses. The first things he's giving thanks for is this Christ-like character that they have. And that's what we're going to focus in on. The second thing starts in verse 4, "knowing, brethren, beloved by God, his choice of you." So this, the second thing he's giving thanks is that they are chosen of God, by God's grace. "For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction, just as you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. You also became imitators of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much tribulation with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example of all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia." So what you've got there is Paul's giving thanks in his prayers to the Lord, first of all, for their Christ-like character, secondly, for the fact that they are chosen of God. And he gives evidence of their being chosen of God, and we just read through that. Now look at verse 8. "For the word of the Lord has sounded forth from you, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith toward God has gone forth, so that we have no need to say anything. For they themselves report about us what kind of a reception we had with you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve a living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, that is Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath to come." So you've got Paul giving thanks to the Lord in prayer for the Thessalonians because, number one, of their Christ-like testimony. Number two, because they are chosen of God. And number three, there's this amazing known and reported on testimony. It's spread everywhere. They planted a church in Thessalonica. They get run out of town. And this church is just flourishing. Their testimony is getting known in many different places. So much the case that wherever Paul goes, he hears about it. The remarkable advancement of the gospel there. But what I want to do is especially focus in on verses 2 and 3. And before we do that, let's ask the Lord to open our eyes to the truth here together this afternoon. Father, I pray that you would enable us to really grasp why Paul could be thankful for the Thessalonians. And I pray that it could be said of each one of us that someone would be giving thanks to you for these very kinds of things in our lives, this Christ-like character that we're going to consider. Lord, we confess that we are not what we want to be. We are not what we must become. And so we humbly ask that you would change us and enable us to really be Christ-like believers that others could look at and say that is God's grace transforming them. We're so thankful that though we are not what we want to be and we are not what we must become, yet in Christ we are what we will always be before you, and that is perfectly righteous. And so it is with great freedom and confidence that we can labor to grow by faith in Christ, because We know as your children, we are fully accepted in him. We pray that you would help us to really have a heart this afternoon to grow as we consider these few verses. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Now, some of you are totally confused because you've been looking in the worship guide and there's no outline. I know this is tough, but there's no outline. So you can handle this. Can you handle that? I can handle it. You can handle it. So don't waste any more time looking for that. Look at verse 2 there. We give thanks to God always for all of you, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind your work of faith and labor of love and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the presence of our God and Father. Now, that's the kind of verse that you can read, and it sounds good. You just read through it, and you actually can miss treasures that are in there. So let's just briefly look at these treasures. Paul's giving thanks to God always for all of the Thessalonians. So God is doing some amazing things in this church, making mention of you in our prayers constantly. You can always, for all of you, constantly. He's just amazed at what God's doing. Bearing in mind three things. All right? Your work of faith, and labor of love, and steadfastness of hope. Now, what does work of faith mean? Now, we've talked about this in Men's and Women's Fellowship, but it is a hugely important concept to understand how to serve Christ in a Christ-centered, God-glorifying way. What is work of faith? Well, it is a work for Christ that springs from what? Faith. It's a work that's produced by Christ through faith in him, right? So he's saying, I give thanks for you before to God in prayer for the work that you're doing that springs from faith in Christ. Now, how do you think about work for Christ? Now, we understand, where can you work for Christ? Where? Everywhere. Anywhere, everywhere, and we should, right? At your job, in your home, and related to specific things of the gathered church, but work of faith, okay? And I don't know what you think about work, but you know, the reality is if you're going to serve the Lord, it's going to be what? Are you okay with that? It's going to be work. It's going to be work. But it needs to spring from faith. You ever met someone that's working for Christian things, but it's not really springing from faith in the Lord? It's just work. Have you ever met someone at your job? Maybe you've been that person. You're at the job and it's work. It's work, right? Well, what if people in the church worked for Christ like you do sometimes on Monday at your job if you're not careful? Well, I just got to do it, right? That's not work that springs from faith, is it? That's produced by faith in Christ. I just want to encourage us that in service for Christ, it's going to take work. Next, look at the next one. And what? Say it with me. Labor of love. All right, so if you didn't think work was getting the point, what about this? How many of you like to labor? Well, Paul is thanking God for their labor of love, which means that sometimes loving requires what? Labor, right? But most importantly, we want to look at this. It's a labor that springs from what? Love. So think about that. Ministry in the church. What if we worked for Christ because our work was, all what we were doing was springing from faith in Christ? All right? And then secondly, what if we labored? I mean, the kind of labor, you know how it is. The kind of labor that you know, whatever it is you did, when you get done, not only are you so tired and drop in bed, the next day you wake up, you're still what? Exhausted, even though you slept 8 hours. That kind of labor, right? We've been there. We've done that, right? We've done that in different periods of life. Did you know that the gospel advances through that kind of thing? Did you know that? But here's the key. It needs to be a labor that springs from what? From love. Love for who? Love for God, love for Christ, and love for who else, obviously? Love for others. right? A labor that springs from love. Now, how do you know if it's not a labor that springs from love? How do you know that? Well, when something doesn't go the right way, when you're laboring for Christ, what happens? You get mad about it. You get frustrated, right? And suddenly, it's obviously not rooted in a love. It's rooted in something very different, whatever that might be, many different things it could be. So, your work of faith and your labor of love. So let me ask you, one, are you willing to work in your life for Christ? Or are you just, do you view life as difficult and you're just trying to get through it? Or are you getting through the difficulties for Christ? In your home, mothers with small children or older or parent or husband, fathers with small children or older children, do you work with faith with your children? Or do you labor with your children in love, from springing from love? Do you do that at work? Or is your work for Christ kind of in a box? I need to work for Christ, and then I go to do my other thing. I go do my other thing, and really, even when you're working for Christ, it's not really springing from a love for Him. Look at the next phrase here, and steadfastness of what? What is it? Steadfastness of hope. Now, I think you probably get the pattern here. If work of faith means work that springs from faith, and labor of love means labor for Christ that springs from what? Love. Then what is steadfastness of hope mean? What does it mean? Steadfastness that springs from hope. Have you ever been in a situation in your life? I mean, I know you have. Why am I even asking that? Where it was a hopeless situation, it seemed. Now, as a Christian, there's nothing that's hopeless, right, in terms of the ultimately. But we all have been in situations where a specific task was so not going to happen, okay? And you had no thought about the future. Here's an example. How many of you have, I know all of us have again, how many of you have transitioned a job where you had to turn in your 2-week notice? And you were going to another job. You ever turn in a 2-week notice or a 4-week notice? Okay. How hard was it to work that last 2 weeks? Was it hard? If you're doing it in the Lord, you can do it. But do you know what I mean? What's missing? There's not like that something out there in the future going on. It's just done, right? Well, if you don't have a hope, then how are you going to be steadfast? How are you going to be faithful in the walk, your walk with Christ? So Paul is giving thanks for their steadfastness of hope. The steadfastness that springs from hope. And what is the hope that we have as Christians? It's the blessed hope, right? The hope that when Christ returns, we are going to be taken up to be together with Him to dwell in the dwelling places that He's prepared for us. It's the hope that when Christ comes, we're going to receive a new body. We're going to come into the adoption of sons and daughters, right? We're going to no longer have any, our bodies will no longer be affected by sin, and our flesh will be, the flesh, that remaining sin will be eradicated. We will see Jesus and we will be like Him because we'll see Him as He is. Our hope is that we have an imperishable inheritance that is not going to fade away and cannot be taken away from you and can't be taken away from us. And we're laying up treasures in heaven where rust does not corrupt and thieves do not break in and steal. I mean, there's a lot of hope we got, isn't there? Confident expectation hope. Hope based on God's promises. All right? So the more you focus on that hope, what God said He will do, what does that produce in your life? Steadfastness. Faithfulness. And you know, the fact is, and going back to the job illustration, if you have a job that you know you're not going anywhere, but you're going through a really tough stretch, but you know what's happening through that, and you know what's coming at the end, are you willing to go through the tough stretch? Yeah, because you have a hope, and it's producing a faithfulness and steadfastness in you. That's what ought to happen in the Christian life as well. So Paul gave thanks, making mention of you in our prayers, constantly bearing in mind of your work that's produced by faith and labor, which is produced by love, and steadfastness, which is produced by hope. Of course, Christ producing all of those things in us. Here's the point. Look, in our Lord Jesus Christ. We don't ever want to look at a phrase like that and think, well, that's just how Christians talk. That's just what the Bible says. No, that's an important phrase. So it's work of faith in Jesus Christ. Labor of love in Jesus Christ. Steadfastness of hope in Jesus Christ. We'll say it the other way. It's work which is produced by faith in who? It's labor which is produced by love in Christ, right? And it's steadfastness of hope, steadfastness which is produced by hope in Jesus Christ. What a remarkable phrase. So here we need to be willing to work and labor and be steadfastness in the cause of Christ in our lives. All of those springing from faith, love, and hope, but all of it in relationship to who? Jesus Christ. How are you going to have faith unless there's someone that you can truly trust and believe in and rejoice in, right? Is Jesus altogether lovely? Do you remember Arthur Spiel always saying that Jesus is the altogether lovely one? He is, isn't he? Love. Jesus is altogether lovely, and that is in Christ. And then steadfastness of hope in Jesus Christ. So, look at the next phrase, though. And this is also very encouraging as well. The last phrase says this. In our Lord Jesus Christ, in the presence of God and Father. Now, I don't know what translation you have, but there is a possibility that it could be put earlier. The word order in Greek is not as important as what it is in English, and so you have to make a decision in English at times where the phrase should go. And some translations would say that this is in the presence, that he's giving thanks in God's presence for these things. But there's good reason to go this way with it, and I want to explain why, what this would mean. It's a matter of the work, labor, and steadfastness in Jesus Christ, only possible in Him, in our union, because of our union with Him, in the presence of God and Father, our God and Father. So your work is in whose presence? God's presence. Your labor is in whose presence? And your steadfastness is in whose presence? God's presence. Now, do you see what a gem this is for laboring for the cause of Christ? What an amazing passage. We are to labor, work, and be steadfast in Jesus Christ, all the while knowing everything we do for Him is in God's presence. Everything. If you're going to be faithful in laboring for Christ, you're going to labor for Christ when no one else in this church knows about it. You are going to work hard at training your children with the gospel, and no one else is seeing it. But guess who is seeing it? God is seeing it. You are going to work hard to reach someone or serve someone in some way, and nobody else necessarily knows that, but God sees it. You're gonna carry out a task at the church, whether physical or some kind of a preparation for something at church, and maybe nobody else knows it, but who sees it? God sees it. It's all in His presence. And it ought to be all done in relationship to your union with Jesus Christ. So let me ask you this. If the Apostle Paul was writing to the Bible church, okay, let's say we were the church at Thessalonica, all right, and we were the congregation he was writing about, could he say this? We, referring to himself and Timothy and Silvanus, give thanks to God always for how many of you? All of you. Why? For your work, labor, and steadfastness. You say, well, maybe he could because he's being nice. Right? We've all been in situations where you kind of end up saying something more universal than you mean to. Right? Maybe you don't want to admit it, but we've all been there. You say, well, everybody or all, it's so, you know, these different things. Is that what Paul's doing here? Well, do you believe in the inspiration of God's word? So God breathed this out through Paul, right? So how many of them could he be thankful for their work, labor, and love, and hope, and steadfastness? How many of them? All of them. That's remarkable, isn't it? I don't even understand that. Except for it's of what God's great grace was doing in the lives of these people. So could you be one of the people? Could you be a part of a church that the Apostle Paul could say, I give thanks for all of that church and their work, labor, and steadfastness? Well, let me answer that question for you. You can't be. I can't be. But in Jesus Christ we can be. Right? In Jesus Christ we can be. And I want to just encourage us, just really briefly today on that note, that our work, our labor, and our steadfastness springs from important things, and it's all in Christ, and God sees it all. He sees it all. So, maybe you're here today and you'd say, I frankly do not have a focus on serving Christ. You know, if I was going to be honest, I go through my life and the way I parent, the way I go to my job, the way I approach the church, the way I approach my hobbies and my extracurricular activities, I'm not really honestly very conscious of Christ. Well, then you need to be exhorted that you need to be working and laboring and being faithful. But maybe you're someone here this afternoon that's saying, I work, I labor, I can tell you what I can do. I do, right? Okay, but do you do it out of faith? Do you do it in love? And do you do it with faithfulness? Do you do it by faith in Christ? And do you recognize that before everything you do, who sees it? God sees it. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Great, we're coming up on a day where we often focus on the resurrection. We should focus on the resurrection every day, especially every Lord's Day. But look at the end of chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. After he's talked about this great reality that Christ is risen from the dead, and that because of that, our faith is not in vain, our preaching is not in vain, and we are no longer still in our sins because Christ truly is risen. Look at verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your toil is not in what? Amen. Look at the last phrase. In the Lord. Does that sound familiar? It's in Jesus Christ. So I want to encourage you that if you're laboring for Christ, none of it is in vain. Not one bit of it. And let me exhort you as well on this point. If you read the New Testament, it's very clear that those that are flourishing in Christ aren't thinking about how little they can do for Christ and how they can make sure they don't let that infringe on what they really want to do. They wish they could do more. They wish they had more strength to do more. That's where we need to be. And as the Lord changes us in that way, He will allow wonderful blessings of grace at work in this church in wonderful ways. So let's ask the Lord to bless these truths to our hearts, and we'll be dismissed for a little bit more fellowship and clean up and be done for today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for these texts of Scripture that really instruct us on our service for you. Lord, I pray that everyone in this church and everyone that's visiting right now and part of other local assemblies would be willing to work, would be willing to labor, whether it's in public gatherings or for the public gatherings or for the various things the church is doing, or whether it's at home when no one sees it, or whether it's at work, wherever we are, that we would labor, that we would do it in faith, in love, in steadfastness, and that we would do it in Jesus Christ, our only hope. recognizing that you see everything we do. And we pray that you would advance the gospel in us and through us as a church for your glory. We praise you for this day. Thank you for the fellowship we've had and the opportunities to encourage one another in the Lord. Pray that you would help us to do so again now. In Christ's name, amen.